Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's classic hits.
And I often ask myself, you know, how Republican is what we created? And isn't it sometimes very much closer to the poor law system that we thought we were departing from? And that's a real challenge I have taken as well to speaking ever more frankly in relation to housing, because I think it is our great, great, great failure. It isn't a crisis anymore. It is a disaster. And I think that we have to really think about meeting the basic needs of people in a republic, be about food and shelter and education. We just really, when I think of people, I said that I knew John Craddock, and I knew many more from the engineering faculty in Cork. They're people who built homes, and building homes is what is important. It is not to be a star performer for the speculative sector internationally or anything else.
There you go. There are the words of our president, Michael D. Higgins, who should normally not get involved in the politics of the country because that's not his remit or not his job. And he has been criticised for it, although Leo Varadkar says he completely agrees with him in relation to what he said. But I don't want to get into Michael D. Higgins and what he actually said, but I believe it's a good reason for us to talk about the disaster, as he calls it, that we're in. And there is no doubt that we have a supply and demand issue on housing, and it's not an easy one to fix, and it's got to the point, this point, I suppose, over a long period of time. The demand is high for social housing, and the government can't build housing quick enough. And it's not about the money, it's about procuring the land and getting developers to actually build on it. I don't believe any political party, by the way, in any election. If there was an election tomorrow and political parties would tell you we're going to build so many houses, don't believe them, because they can't. Unless they had a magic wand, in the short term, they can't fix the problem. Also, the danger of not having enough houses, to say, you know, is, or that we do have enough houses. In other words, if we suddenly had the magic wand and built enough houses tomorrow for everybody on the housing list, etc., etc., to free up houses to be sold privately as well, you know, well, then property values would drop. And suddenly you would have a lot of houses, a lot of people who borrowed over the last 10 years going into negative equity. So it's a difficult one to fix. Ireland has seen a massive population growth per head of population. We have gone from 3.3 million roughly in the early 80s to over 5 million. We'll know at the end of this month, actually, because the census will be releasing at the end of this month the overall figure of the population. Now, they won't have all the details probably till later in the year or next year, but by the end of this month, they'll be able to tell us how many people live in Ireland. And possibly, you know, the male-female demographic, which is usually about 50-50. Nature does that for some reason. Anyway, we reckon it could be, and I predict, close to 5.4 million. That is a massive increase of 2 million people, almost a third extra in the last 40 years. I mean, and for a small country with a small economy, that's a massive increase. I mean, we could sustain a population realistically of 10 million people if we were clever and we had clever people in charge. But we don't. And most of the increase, of course, is due to non-Irish immigration from all over the world, including Europe and outside of Europe. And the demand for housing has increased. Of course, Irish people are having less children. But what happens is when you have immigration, which we've had quite a lot of over the last 20 or 30 years, we have to allow for that. Diversity is a good thing, by the way. But we have to allow for it, and we have to have somewhere for people to live. And we haven't been building houses. The previous government, Enda Kenny's government, didn't build any houses whatsoever. So how can you not build houses when you have a population increasing constantly all the time? They knew there was going to be a problem. But that's not going to make any difference. Me giving out about that right now is not going to make a difference. Most of the crisis is around social housing. Yes, the cost of young couples buying a house is too high. We all know that, who want to buy privately. But if you address the housing stock and social housing, that would free up many houses that are currently being rented under the HAP scheme. And currently in this country, there are tens of thousands of people on a housing list, nearly up to 100,000 at one stage, on a housing list. And if you housed all of those people tomorrow, we would have a property crash. The values of properties all over the country would drop. So you have to be careful how you do that. A lot of those people currently at the moment are renting 2 and 3 bedroom houses or apartments. And the government are paying for that, millions, every single year. And unfortunately, what that does, it keeps people in the housing stock that's currently there. So those who want to buy privately have to pay exorbitant prices. So it's a kind of I suppose it's a domino effect, and it's difficult to fix. But by doing nothing, we're not going to fix it. And we're literally doing very little about it. We're hoping it'll just fix itself. So I want to talk about how it's affecting you, not about the politics of it. And I understand everybody has a solution, or everybody thinks they have an answer to it. I want to talk about how it's affecting you, how it's affecting your children, your grown-up children, who are still living in your home at 24 or 25 years of age because they can't buy a house. How it's affecting you if you're single and you can't get help from the government because maybe you're single, you're last on the list to be helped if you're single and you don't have kids. And people who are living literally in their cars, who are staying at night, sleeping in their car because they don't have anywhere to stay, because even to buy a one-bed apartment, if you're working in Dublin, for example, or living in Dublin, a one-bed apartment is probably going to cost you 2,200 euro anywhere close to Dublin. And that's the real fact of this. It's having a massive effect on people's lives. And as I said, I don't want to get into the politics, but the only people to blame are the government. But it's not inherently their fault right now. It's the fault of previous governments who did nothing about a hugely expanding population over a short period of time. And that is going to continue. Because as you know, we've another 30,000 people have just come in from Ukraine. We have more immigrants will be coming from other countries, where we have a shortage of workers in this country. And when we have a shortage of workers, we need foreign workers to come in and work. If we don't, the economy collapses and falls down. So we need people to come in because we don't have enough Irish people to do the jobs. So I was talking to somebody this morning who works in retail, and he told me he cannot get staff. Can't get staff. Employment is at an all-time low. It's at just over 5% unemployment. So you're not going to get it down to zero, because there are always going to be people who can't work or won't work. So the number is 087-188-0008. I want to know how the housing crisis, or as Michael D. Higgins puts it, the housing disaster, how it is affecting you and your family. Or is it affecting you? Let me know. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Morris, you're in Ireland's Classic Hits. How are you doing, Morris?
Just finishing me lunch now. How are you?
I'm grand. What are you having? Something nice, I hope.
I did. I had free-range eggs. I had cheese, lettuce and mayonnaise.
Sounds tasty.
And a bit of black pepper.
Yeah, what's with the free-range eggs? I mean, why free-range?
A girl that's a friend of the family got four hens in and they're laying eggs, and she gives them to me. And my wife makes cakes with them and I eat them for my lunch.
Here's the thing, right? I've always wondered about eggs. Now, this is pardon my ignorance, right? Because it was a thought that came into my head the other night. If you have a hen and it's laying eggs, right?
Yeah.
Then we know what eggs are. They're embryos, right? So how do you know there isn't a little chicken in it when you boil it?
Because she's not fertilising them. They're not fertilised with a rooster.
But how do you know? Because there's no rooster at the back.
You need a rooster, exactly. No rooster, just four hens, and they're clucking away, giving you eggs where you can feed yourself.
So they lay the again. I don't understand the biology of it because I've never had a hen. So they lay the eggs anyway, even if they're not.
Yeah, if you don't want to have the little chicks in your eggs, keep the rooster away.
Right.
But you know that's where your fertilization.
So to be really blunt about it, and I don't want to be. No, I won't say it because it could be people having their lunch eating eggs.
I know, yeah. Well, I'll just add them. I know what you're thinking.
All right, okay, Morris, getting back to the housing disaster. You heard what Michael D. Higgins said. I don't want to get into, you know, Michael D. Higgins and his remit. Yeah,
no,
but I mean, how is it affecting people?
It takes the number one citizen in Ireland to say, listen, we just get your heads together. It's a disaster now. It's gone on for too long. I'm sick of listening to people coming onto your show telling you the dire straits that they're in. A woman living in a car, a woman that won't go to a hospital, other people refusing houses because they didn't know where to put the trampoline. We've had a million of stuff. And basically all I'm going to say to you is the thing that took over in this country is greed. Mm-hmm. Everybody got greedy. Everybody wanted more. Listen, when the crash came, there was one case that stuck in my mind and it'll be with me till I die. A taxi driver in Dublin had 20 houses and 20 mortgages. And when the crash came, bang, up in a heap. He's bankrupt now, and any penny he earns, he gives back to the state. There you go. There's 20, a taxi man with a 20 property portfolio in Dublin.
Well, I know, I remember it well. I remember 2006 when people were buying properties in Bulgaria.
Drive-by viewings. Yeah. Drive-by viewings in Dublin. How are you, Mick? Yeah, do you fancy another house loan? Yeah. What do you want? I'll give me 420. There's 670. And the more he lent, the more bonus he got. So there's the greed. People stopped caring and got greedy. But I admire the man for pointing out the faults in the country. And the people are suffering. And he's sick of us. And he should be allowed to speak out on our behalf because we voted him in.
Yeah, but, I don't want to get into him per se, but there's a reason why he's not allowed to speak out. He's meant to be neutral, politically neutral, and his remit in the office is essentially shaking hands and bringing business into the country.
Yeah.
So he's not meant to get involved in politics or meant to get involved in the debate of the day.
Yeah. I was in town one morning a while back, I'd say about 6 or 7 o'clock on a weekend, on a Saturday, and I was near Christchurch, Patrick Street area, right? And it was really nice and quiet and everything. And within 10 minutes, it was like O'Connell Street. And I said, where are all these people coming from? Do you know where they were coming from? Airbnbs in the city centre.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the properties, you won't get a property to rent in Dublin. It's all Airbnb and everybody's earning big money on it. That's where the property's gone. And then we have all the problems with the housing in the country. That was greedy. Quarry owners got greedy and they put in muck and stuff into houses. Then you have the people up in Donegal, Micros. You know, everybody got greedy. The people are suffering. Everybody puts up the prices. And who suffers at the end of the day? And you know yourself. You're from the north side of Dublin, and as I am. A man took his own life when his house or his apartment was found to be dysfunctional and destroyed. And there's a woman out there with a child that hasn't got a partner because he was let down and he was ripped off. And the only way him out was he topped himself. Horrific. Over the property.
That's the madness we live in, Niall. But unfortunately, you know, in those situations, and that's a very sad story, and in those situations what happens is you have people, primarily men, because obviously there's a higher rate of suicide amongst men, sadly. They feel that they need to provide for their families, and if they don't, they feel they failed. And that's really sad.
And like you said, the only way out they feel is to do the wrong thing.
I know, and that's...
Because that's all, and it's horrific.
Of course,
I will turn around and tell you that you told me that one politician said, well, you know, he's not too wrong. You said one politician there. I won't name him. Now he's bragging that he's taken in a Ukrainian person. Mm-hmm. If the Ukrainian situation hadn't happened, would he have given the room to a homeless Irish person?
No, I do get what you're saying. And by the way, you know, the Ukrainian situation hasn't really affected the housing crisis per se. The housing crisis, or housing disaster, as Michael D. Higgins calls it, has been around and has been with us for the last
40 years.
Absolutely. But Morris, it was plainly obvious that was going to happen. When we go from having, as I said, a population of 3.3 to 5.2 million in the space of, you know, 40 years in the 1980s, the early 1980s, well, then you're bound to have a housing crisis if you don't start building houses.
And do you know why this country was mismanaged? And I'm only a working class guy like yourself. And I look at things and I see things over the years that have been on the road. I'm 40 years in my job this year and I'm very proud of it because I've stepped out and I've provided for my family and I'm providing for my grandchildren now, right? And it's an achievement because I've done it and I enjoy doing what I'm doing. And part of it is ringing up you and having a chat. We had NAMA in here and they could have turned around and turned this situation on its head. They were put into power to represent the government and say, get all that property that's out there dysfunctional and failed. And they should have took it back into government ownership. They should have bought
and said they sold it back to developers again.
Exactly. And they come in, the greedy fuckers, on the
nose. Watch your language, please, Morris.
Sorry, people. I'm a Catholic. Sorry about that. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for Hail Mary. It just annoys me, Niall, when I see greed. And we could have turned this situation on its head. We could have compulsory purchase ordered every bloody apartment and building and house and said, right, we have a government scheme now where we're back in like the corporation. We have housing estates. We'll manage them. We'll rent them out at a fair price.
Okay, well, stay there for a second because I want to go to Jay as well. Jay, you're in Ireland's Classic Hits. Aiden, Jay.
Hey, how's it going?
Now, Jay, you've emigrated.
Yeah, I live over in Portugal these days.
Okay, and you're living in Portugal. And what's the reason that you moved to Portugal?
I was living in Cork City and I basically moved out of one place and I was looking for another place after a breakup and all that, you know?
Yep.
But I was looking for another place, and I mean, I was looking at one-bedroom apartments, which was basically a large bedroom that somebody put a partition wall down a little bit to, you know, to make a bathroom or whatever. It was like 1,200 a month or whatever for that, and it was I got so depressed just thinking about it. I mean, it looked like a prison cell, you know.
Yeah, you didn't spend your life saving and working to end up in that situation.
Exactly. I mean, you know, I mean, okay, I don't have much education or whatever, but I can see guys that come out of college after 4 years and they're earning X amount, and 90% or 80% of their wages are going on rent. They're having to get a second job to, you know, to whatever, to pay bills and whatever. It got ridiculous. So a friend of mine was living in Portugal, gave him a shout and said, get me a job. And here I am.
Okay, and what are you doing over there?
Well, nowadays I work in logistics.
Okay.
Basically, all the trucks and stuff like that. But back then I was working in a call center.
And now the cost of living is absolutely, it's lower. It's cheaper to rent. It's probably a nicer lifestyle, but the weather is better, of course. But in saying that, the wages would be a lot lower, wouldn't they?
Well, if you're working for a Portuguese company, I work internationally. I just live here.
Oh, okay. Right. And what's your rent? Quality wise, you said okay, they were looking for £1,300 for, you know, a bedroom with a partition, essentially. I mean, your quality of life now, you know, what are you living in now?
A 3-bedroom house I'm still renting while I'm saving up to buy. But I have a 3-bedroom house on the Silver Coast. Literally, I could throw a stone at the beach and probably knock out a surfer. Sort of throw a stone out my bedroom window and knock out a surfer. I'm that close to the beach.
Okay.
And it's $450 a month, including the bills.
Wow. That's a big difference, isn't it? And the lifestyle, of course. I mean, generally speaking, it's cheaper to eat, it's cheaper to shop, it's cheaper to buy everything. Cars is cheaper, diesel, petrol, everything is cheaper.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, even like I've got friends here who are working Portuguese jobs, Portuguese companies, and you know, they're on Portuguese wages, like, and they're not struggling like the Irish were when I was there.
Mm-hmm. Who do you blame? Who do you blame for that? I mean, okay, well, obviously you have to blame government because they're the ones responsible ultimately. But I mean, this hasn't just happened overnight.
Oh no, it's gone on for years. But I mean, the biggest problem is that there's a. I don't know the exact figures, but I remember someone telling me that, reading somewhere in one of the papers, that the majority of PDs are actually landlords themselves.
Well, a lot of them are, like, yeah. A lot of them would be, yes.
Well, you're not going to get any change. I mean, these guys vote for their own pay raises.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've ripped us off millions of times.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't going to get any changes as long as their TDs are landlords, you know? They're not going to vote. They're not going to vote their money down.
And do you see yourself coming back to Ireland at any stage?
Would you like
to come back to Ireland?
Oh, yes. I love Ireland. My family there, not all of my friends, I have many friends here, but the vast majority of my friends, the people I love, the people I care about, are there. I mean, I see them. You know, I go back and visit and whatever.
Yeah.
But the way things are, I couldn't see myself going back there full time.
Well, I mean, it's cheap enough to fly back and forward through Faro Airport or with Ryanair, isn't it, I suppose?
Well, I'm up closer to Lisbon these days, which is a bit more expensive. But I don't mind.
Yeah, okay. But I mean, I can see why you would be attracted to the lifestyle, to be honest with you. I wouldn't mind being on a Portuguese beach as we speak right now. I mean, do you think it's sad when you listen? I'm sure you read Irish newspapers and I'm sure you're reading Irish news online. And when you see so many families, young people in particular, affected by this housing crisis, where you've got young couples with decent jobs who just cannot afford to buy a house. Or even rent.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, decent jobs, decent education, they've worked hard to get where they are, and they can't even get a foothold in the door, you know?
Mm. And is the answer to build more houses? Because realistically, unless you had a magic wand, that's not going to happen, because there's a huge shortage of people to work in construction. That's the biggest problem. Mm-hmm. And then procuring land, obviously getting, you know, planning on everything else, we need to fast track that a bit better. So, I mean, I don't believe there's an answer to this.
I lived the last, 15 odd years before I left Ireland. I was living in Cork City. I would go all over the city, and even in the kind of, you know, the more built up places and whatever, there's the amount of derelict buildings or houses that haven't been lived in for years, mm-hmm. and whatever.
Yeah.
If you put, say, a government grant on doing these houses up to standard, you know, basically
I think I heard a figure of 40,000, by the way. Sorry for interrupting you, but I think I heard a figure of 40,000 vacant properties in Ireland.
Yeah. basically, you incentivize getting these things up to scratch and, you know, incentivize letting them out. I mean, you mentioned tax breaks to landlords, to TDs, and they're not themselves, basically. You know, they're jumping, they're fought, they're each other.
Of course. Well, look, the best of luck over there, by the way, and I hope you get to follow your dream and come home again soon and get enough money. And in the meantime, enjoy the sunshine. Let me just go to Nancy as well. Nancy, you're in Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Nancy?
Hi, thanks very much, Maya, for having me on.
Now, Nancy, you're here since 2013. Yeah, originally,
that's right.
You're from Germany.
That's right. Yep.
Okay, so what's your situation right now?
Well, I've actually started 2013. I came over in January and I got the job I did apply from Germany. So I got the job while being in Germany. The employer provided me with one night in a hostel when I came over. I was lucky to extend that to actually from 1 to 3 nights. And
That wasn't pleasant, I'm sure. Okay.
Yeah. And immediately I was looking for some rooms. And at that time, you know, I didn't really bother. Back in Germany, I lived in my own apartment. So when I came to Ireland, I didn't mind living in a house sharing or whatever, you know, because I didn't know the city that much or whatever. So I was kind of glad, yeah, okay, no, I get along with people, that's fine. So it took me some time to find some appropriate room. Those that I actually feel they were horrible situations, like with mold all over the place and huge amount of rent, even in 2013. So I kind of thought, Jesus Christ, I didn't know, you know, when I came to Ireland, I was making naive.
Well, you came probably at a really bad time because in 2013 we were just recovering from the recession, so prices were going up.
I didn't know about those things, so I came to Ireland with the situation in Germany in my head, you know, meaning, okay, we are in Europe, so we are pretty much in the same situation. Europe has pretty much like the same standards. Like, so I didn't even think about that there might be a kind of a housing or you know, rental crisis in Ireland. So that kind of brought me into a state like saying, Jesus Christ, I can't even get a room or something, you know. So that put me into a kind of a horrible situation. I then, thank God, I found a room in a house, and I lived there for 1.5 years, moved out then with my then former housemate into another apartment. And there, all of a sudden, I remember this quite well, even by the date. It was 4 days before Christmas. I got told by my room or housemate, so we have to move out. It was 4 days before Christmas.
Oh, no. And were you given any warning? Just 4 days before Christmas, you have to go.
I wasn't giving any warning. And the thing is, my then housemate, she moved in that two-bedroom apartment a couple of months before, so I then moved in later. And at that stage, you know, I think it was 2014 or 15, around that time.
Yeah.
14, I think. I was still, you know, very naive in my head, not even thinking about having a contract and all these kind of things, looking into papers, you know, because in my head, you know, with the apartment in Germany, you sign a contract and you have it there pretty much forever and ever, you know?
Yeah, of course, like, they can't put you out, yeah. Exactly. Unless you do something wrong, of course, yeah.
Exactly. So, but we didn't do this, I didn't do this. I always paid my rent on time, etc. So, this is the first thing I was told by my then housemate, we have to leave. So, and I was super lucky that I knew someone that I could really pretty much get shelter in, you know, over the Christmas time, because I was looking straight away onto Daft, you know, all these kind of places online, and I couldn't do anything that.
And everywhere you go and see, there's a queue outside, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was lucky then that I got at least some shelter from that guy over Christmas and New Year's Eve time. And I was also lucky that I was on annual leave that time. So there was pure luck.
You could have ended
up
on the streets, for God's sake, yeah.
Absolutely. I wouldn't have absolutely an idea where to stay, actually. But probably, I mean, 4 days before Christmas, I would have gone to a B&B or
of course,
hotel,
yeah. Okay, so where are you? I'm sorry for rushing you a bit, but I'm running short of time. But where are you now, or what's your situation now?
So I'm still in Cork City, and I've been lucky that I actually been renting out a little tiny, tiny apartment for the last number of years. But with the situation beforehand, the moment I moved in, I pretty much was looking into my letterbox every single day, pretty much thinking or expecting there's a letter, you know, telling me, okay, you have to move out. And still, this is still in my head, you know.
I know.
Still in the back of my head thinking.
And
okay,
is it expensive, by the way, your little one bedroom apartment in Cork?
Thankfully not. Okay. I'm very lucky with that. Thankfully
okay, that's
not.
Good. That's
so
good.
And my landlord is
your landlord is a good landlord. Okay.
Yeah.
So at the moment now, you know, you mentioned it to Aisling outside that the rental crisis is causing a mental health crisis.
It does, and it did, and it still does, because I don't feel really relaxed in a way of saying, okay, I have my place now, and I will be living here for you know, whatever. Because
yeah.
The moment I, for whatever reason, I will maybe get a note saying, okay, I'm sorry, you have to move out, I wouldn't even know where to go.
Go,
because
of course,
all of my colleagues around me, they are struggling to find a room or something. They're really struggling. So in my head, I would probably approach my employer saying, well, either you help me or I have to go back to Germany.
Oh, you have to go back to Germany.
Yeah.
And would you be confident that if you went back to Germany that you would have a better lifestyle?
Yeah, well, in many parts, maybe, in such parts like health and housing, yes, I would say so. Even infrastructure, you know, with the better rail network, you know, we have...
And housing, you would find somewhere to rent at a more reasonable price, yeah.
Yeah, what I say in smaller towns, even in bigger towns in Germany like Berlin or Cologne or so, even there is a crisis, you know, because, you know, there's always a growing population, you know.
Of course.
But
By the way, Nancy, can I just point out something that I'm sure a lot of people are listening have noticed? You're here since 2013. You've got a wonderful Cork accent already, by the way. Can I just...
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'll take it up, I guess.
Yeah. I'd say if you went to Germany, they wouldn't recognise you. You've got a lovely Cork accent. It's a kind of crossbreed accent between Germany and Cork.
Oh, I know.
You need to throw the word boy in now and again. But listen, it's been lovely talking to you, Nancy, and I hope you manage to stay in that little apartment that you have. You're looking to have something at a reasonable price that you kind of like, but hopefully you want what you really are looking for from the government is a bit more security, I suppose. Yes.
It's security and have way more one-room and two-bedroom apartments, because what's at the moment happening is it's house sharing all over the place, where people come from abroad to live in house sharing, but that's no life quality.
No, you want your own space, and I know exactly what you mean. Yes,
exactly. That's right.
So. Okay, listen, Nancy, the best of luck to you, okay? I'll see you. It's been lovely talking to you. It was nice talking to Nancy there. From the very start, by the way, I could hear she had a German accent, but I could also hear she had a Cork accent as well, and she's only here a few years. She's already adopted that Cork accent. It's wonderful to hear. The number is 087-188-0008. How has the housing crisis affected you, your family, your daughters, your sons? Maybe they're trying to buy a house at the moment. They just can't. Maybe they're trying to rent. They just can't. Maybe they're literally sleeping in their car. How is it affecting you? Let's not call it a crisis anymore, because Michael D. Higgins says it's not a crisis, it's a disaster. All right, keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number's 087-188-0008. Let me go to Chris. Chris, you're in Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Chris?
Oh, yeah. I think the little man was absolutely right. But it shouldn't, you know, cause a constitutional crisis to bring the subject up, you know. Michael McDowell says that's what it is, and he's usually right on constitutional matters, although he said he agrees with the president, you know. But anyway, I have sons and daughters in their 20s and 30s, you know, and they've all third-level education. When I look at their salaries, I think, my God, that's fantastic, you know. Well, one of them had to emigrate. Well, she didn't have to emigrate, but she has, you know. She's a master's in, you know, she's an interior designer. Mm-hmm. She emigrated. Anyway, so it's really a bad problem, you know. I mean, and there is...
And when you say, so they're earning a good wage, and, you know, going by, I suppose, the calculator, there is exemptions where they can get four times the salary. Three times the salary is the normal lending
three
rate.
And a half or three times,
But there is, I know they're allowed a certain amount of exemptions every year, the banks, where they can give up to four times. I think they're allowed 300,000, isn't it, or something like that, where exemptions.
That's right,
yeah. But in saying that, so even with their good wage, they still can't get enough to buy a house.
Absolutely. If you look at the CSO figures for household incomes across the country, I think up to 60% of households earn less than 40,000.
I can imagine that would be true, yeah.
Absolutely. You know, so it's you know, but there's an endemic problem, you see. But there's a solution, Niall.
Well, what is the solution? The magic wand, I think, Chris, is the only solution.
Here's the magic wand from, not from me, from all the political parties. Sheena Fianna Fáil, Sheena Fianna Gael, Sheena Fianna Unlucht Oibre, the Party on Glass, Sheena Fianna Fáin, all of them put in their manifestos before the last election, they're going to hold the referendum to rebalance the rights of property versus the common good. Because our constitution gives uber alles rights to private property. In the acquisition of, you know, property or sites for houses, they come up against these laws in the constitution. Now, no, the government hasn't published the wording on that. Now, they have said that they're going to do it. When are they going to do it?
But Chris, it's all well and good when you have political parties making promises during the run-up to election. Like Sinn Féin made outlandish promises in relation to how many houses, social houses they could build. And Fianna Gael and Fianna Fáil made some promises too. None of those promises have been fulfilled and they will not be fulfilled in this term of office, right? But it's easy to make promises. But when you can't get construction companies or developers or land quick enough or procure land quick enough, you're never going to be able to build that many houses. The problem is that it's too late now. We have had previous governments, not just this government, but previous. Enda Kenny's government didn't build a single house. Not a single house.
Yeah, sure. The Labour Party, they had 33 seats. And because they ignored the housing issue, they lost 27 seats. They're down to 6 or 7 seats.
Yeah, they're right down there with the Green Party now. But in saying that, at this point now, it's going to take years to get back to where we were back in the 80s, where we had enough houses.
Yeah, and with 37,000 Ukrainians, and God bless them.
But I don't think that's going to make a huge difference. And that's probably a temporary situation too.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah, well, and hopefully those people can go back to their country because that's what they want to do.
But the referendum, now you take the Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, Green Party, affordable housing, 390,000 for an affordable apartment in Dublin, nearly 400,000. And look at the CSO figures on household incomes. They're catering for 30% of the population. The rest of the population, you know, the other thing is...
I know. I'm watching them building apartments across the road from us here at Ireland's Classic Hits, down around the docks, and these apartments are probably going to sell for between 500 and 700,000. And I said, who's buying these? Who's going to be... They're not building apartments for you or for me or for your kids. They're not building those apartments. But Chris, listen, I'm sorry to hear about your kids, by the way, that they had to leave. They felt they had to leave or they just couldn't afford to buy in this country. And I have so many people want to talk about it. Thank you very much indeed, Chris. Let me go to Peter Dooley, by the way, who's co-founder of Dublin Renters Union. Peter, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Nice to have you on again. Peter, now Michael D. Higgins has described this as not a crisis, but a disaster. And I'm listening and I'm looking at texts here from ordinary, everyday people whose sons and daughters are still living in their houses with the age of 25 and 26, can't buy a house. It's just unaffordable.
Absolutely. Like, it's our own full-blown humanitarian crisis. So even go beyond the disaster. And it's been like that for the past number, probably 8 to 10 years in particular. And it emanated from, obviously, the Troika coming into Ireland and basically... where we bailed out the banks, as one of your previous callers said, with NAMA and stuff, and they opened this avenue to vulture funds and corporate landlords to come in and run riot and havoc on our shores. And this was all facilitated by government policies. And they've all stood over this. Well, the homeless crisis got worse, the affordability housing crisis has got worse, and they just don't give a damn. The political parties...
To say they don't give a damn would be wrong. To be fair, okay? You know, I don't think there's an answer to it. And I think they themselves, no matter how clever they might think they'll be, there is no answer to this currently at the moment because we don't have enough workers, we don't have enough construction companies, we don't have enough developers, the cost of raw materials is going through the ceiling, and everything added together is causing this crisis. And of course, more people are coming into Ireland, the population is rising, so we're not going to be able to meet the demand. We can't meet the demand.
Well, I disagree, Noel, because if you start at basics in a society, if you have a social good of a home in society and you start a foundation block of any proper functioning democracy, economy, society, that's what should be there at the cornerstone of it. There is a right to a common good in the Constitution, which has never been properly tested either. As one of your previous callers made, comments about property rights. People with property in Ireland have all the rights. Anybody without property doesn't have any rights. And that's where it comes from. It comes from a society and a state that they prop up that looks after the wealthy in society. And they'll point it as a technical issue. They'll always say it's technical. It's a supply issue. Maybe we need more developers. Maybe we need more buildings.
Okay, and it's all well and good, you and me on the air chatting about whose fault we think it is. But
it's solutions.
Well, that's what we need, a solution. So for Tom and Mary, who have three kids, who are all in their 20s and want to buy a house, maybe two of them are in a position to buy a house. One might be unemployed and need social housing. That's your average family, for example. You know, I mean, how are we going to help them? How do we build more houses?
Well, what you do is, instead of this, as one of your callers talking about affordable housing, the government are talking about affordable housing all the time. You need to go back to what, as I said, a home should be, a social good. Why don't we look at universal public housing, where you increase the thresholds for housing and people have long-term security, can pay 20% of your income to have a home, and then
Peter, the current model at the moment allows people to pay 10%, right, in most areas, in most council areas. And we listened last week to Councillor McManus when he was on telling us that a vast amount of people won't even pay the 10%. They're in arrears and the state doesn't even collect the arrears. So if it's difficult to get 10% off people, how difficult will it be to get 20% off them?
No, I think it's more complex than that. There's actually somebody not paying their rent. The issues are people, everybody should pay their rent for where they live. Everybody wants to have.
And what happens if they don't pay the rent?
And pay a rent. But a lot of council tenants, if you're making comments to a council tenant in Dublin City, a lot of council tenants are living in damp, mould, absolutely over.
Okay, but I asked you a question there. What happens if somebody doesn't pay their rent?
Well, there should be mechanisms there, for instance, the state. And I would blame the state for this, for letting it go to such a level where the rent arrears are gone to...
37 million in Dublin County Council alone or something like that, yeah? So if Johnny and Mary, who are living in social housing, for example, maybe they're in a low-income job or whatever, right? And they're getting their rent for 10% of the value of the rent of the house, or 10% of their income, and they decide to strategically not to pay the rent, because there are people strategically not paying rent because they know nothing will be done about it. What do you do?
Nobody should do that. If you have the income, you should be paying your rent.
Okay, but you're not answering my question. What do you do?
But you have to actually talk to the people and see what the situation is.
But do you chuck them out? Do you chuck them out if they're not paying it?
Well, some people who don't, everybody don't. Well, that's a last resort for somebody. But obviously, if you engage with people and if they're not paying their rent for whatever reason, that's, you know, if they can't afford it, it's a totally different reason.
Well, if they can't afford it, it's a different reason. But I can't see how they couldn't afford 10% of what they earn. Yeah, now and ever.
The issue while I'm on discussing this, obviously, is to offer solutions for the crisis. Like, and I think it's important that currently, last year, €900 billion was given in our public money to private landlords in housing assistance payments, RAS, all these sort of schemes, to enrich landlords, would put more people into poverty. And like half the people in Ireland earn less than probably 28,000 to 30,000. The median income is 28,000 to 30,000 a year. Most of them would be in rented accommodation. And there are solutions. The solutions are to ban evictions, essentially, to give people long-term security in their homes, which is very common.
But you can't ban evictions.
Well, in the EU, you would put a ban, because during the
How can you ban evictions? Speak sense, Peter. I agree with you on a lot of things. The one thing I'll never agree with you on, you can't ban evictions, because if you ban evictions, that leaves it wide open to abuse, where people won't bother their arse paying.
I'll clarify what ban evictions means. It's not a wide-scale ban evictions of all evictions.
Well, that's what you're saying.
I'm saying immediately, during lockdowns, we saw the homeless figures drop, because 70% of people coming into homelessness come from the private rental sector. They're coming because of reasons for substantial refurbishments, or landlords are claiming to sell their property, kicking the tenants out to jack up the rents, because there's an unregulated rental market in Ireland. And that's the reality of it in Ireland. There's over 10,039 people in emergency accommodation currently, over 3,000 children in emergency accommodation. And as I said, 70% come from people who are paying their rent and evicted because the landlord might decide to sell because property prices are sky high levels and the state aren't willing to step in. But then they're enriching all these companies, the hotels and stuff, are making a fortune out of it. And then they're laughing at us. And they actually don't give a damn, Noel. And like, if anybody seems to think that the politicians care about fixing the housing crisis, you're misguided.
Okay, on that note, I've run out of time, Peter. Listen, thank you for coming on the air. Peter Dooley, co-founder of Dublin Renters Union. He believes if anybody thinks politicians care, you're misguided. Martin, how are you? You're in Ireland's Classic Kids. How are things?
Hey, now you're fresh.
Good. Now, you're a musician and you travel from Cork up to Dublin every single week. What's the purpose of your journey?
Well, I'm after writing a song called Everyone Should Have a Home, and it's about the housing crisis. And I travel up every Thursday, and I go up there from 1 o'clock, and I do a protest outside their door, and I sing my song.
And what's your investment in this, or why did you feel so passionate about it?
Well, I guess the investment is like for the housing crisis that's going on in the country at the moment. I'm kind of personally affected by it in that I have an eviction notice pending. And and also when I kind of did, you know, I was listening to a lot of talks when I was writing the song, and it kind of occurred to me that the state of anxiety that somebody who's renting, I've been renting all my life, that somebody who's renting, the kind of instability is terrible as well. So that's
because you're
of,
sitting there waiting
kind of
for that. Well, Nancy said that earlier on. She's constantly, she has her little one bed apartment in Cork, and she's constantly waiting for the letter in the door to say, you know, out you get.
Well, there you go. You're kind of you're in this constant state of anxiety, whether you're kind of aware of it or not. Like, kind of, will the landlord sell the property? You're kind of aware that it's not your home all the time, and you're kind of going, because there's no kind of stability.
I don't know how you fix that problem, because you always have to try and balance the rights of the landlord and the rights of the tenant, obviously. And the landlord, at some point, if they ever do want to sell or pass it on to their children to live there, should always have those rights to do that too, provided they give a fair bit of notice to their tenant. So you're always going to have that issue, aren't you? When you're renting, it's that it's not yours, essentially.
You are, but I guess there's kind of other countries you could look at, like Austria, you know, 50% of the housing is provided by the state,
yeah,
or what they call not-for-profit housing. So you get like lifetime security of tenure. It can be done.
Yeah.
And there's lots of people that can rent a house. I'd happily rent a house.
Right, like the old Dublin Corporation and County Council schemes many years
absolutely.
Ago.
Yeah.
Okay, so you wrote a song. I've only got a minute and a half here, so maybe, do you have your guitar with you there?
I do, yeah. Will I give you a blast?
Yeah, give us a blast there of your song.
Yeah,
there.
I'll give you the chorus. So.
All right, okay, go on. Oh, unfortunately we can't hear him. He's gone. Where is he on the other side of the room? Ah, God love him. He's over the other side of the room asking. He doesn't know that we can't hear him. I do apologise. He's singing his brains out of there. Oh, sorry.
There you go.
Martin, that was great. Unfortunately, whatever happened there, maybe you were too close to the phone or too far away. We couldn't hear very much of it.
It broke up. Oh, sorry.
It's okay, Martin.
I can send it to you if you.
Yeah,
like
do. I would love you to do that to us and send it to us. But
yeah.
It was entertaining nonetheless. But
okay,
when are you up in Dublin again?
Up tomorrow now.
Okay,
yeah,
and when you literally stand outside the Dáil and you sing your song and head off back home again. And have you had any the Minister for Housing, or has anybody come out to say hello to you, shake your hand, or?
Well, there was one week where I went on to say my protest was going on at the same time as the cost of living protest, so so I joined that.
Okay,
I met a lot of politicians there, but I guess singing from the same sheet as me.
Of course,
nobody from. The parties
right.
that are up in power. Yeah.
Well, look, I wish you well. Listen, thank you very much.
Thanks
indeed.
So much.
All right,
thanks,
okay.
Bye.
All right, keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number is 087-188-0008. Let's just play a little bit of audio for you here, a WhatsApp audio before I go.
The housing here has got way out of hand. Like, I was looking at TikTok the other day, and there was a room in Fisbrough. Now, I mean a room that they had made into a sitting room kind of kitchen sort of deal. And it was like a pretty smallish room. And it was $1,300 a month, which is crazy. There was another one which was someone's extension on the side of someone's house in Colester, and that was selling for $330,000, literally for an extension on the side of someone's house. Crazy.
Absolutely crazy, you're right.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's classic.